All right, let's start with this first topic, how to be happy and satisfied at work. I think we all want that, right? I think what's interesting to me is, at least in my career, every 18 months to maybe 2.5 years, I kind of step back and take that exercise and look at my own career and say, hey, am I still happy and satisfied? You know, what's really my criteria now, given my experience, given my life situation? So I think what would be interesting to discuss with all of you is, do you know your criteria for work satisfaction? Sometimes it's like having a method to go through and kind of ask yourself what's important to you actually helps with just even the career evaluation or a way to just take a pulse on your career, right? So let's talk a little bit about that. I think for this format, I would just love for you to jump in and kind of share a criteria, you know, and I can share mine as well. But does somebody wants to volunteer and kind of get us started and say, what is one of the criteria you have for work satisfaction?
Yep, I can go late. This is the new.
Okay, cool.
So I think for me, in terms, I would think maybe like a learning is a quite an important criteria for me. So for me, when I'm picking on a project, I want to make sure that I'm trying to learn something new, which will, you know, obviously help me stay engaged and plus help me from an overall growth perspective as well. So I would say learning is a key, key item I would look for.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that resonates with me as well. It's probably one of my number one things. If we're not learning, we're just waiting to die, pretty much.
yeah, I would agree. Otherwise, things can be repetitive or stale, moving forward.
Yeah. Well, then you're really just working, right? Because then you have the knowledge and all you're doing is contributing out. There's no actual input that feeds the soul in some ways. And I think the learning is interesting. And there's different kinds of learning. I think a lot of you are product managers like myself, and so learning the product management skill set is one. But there's also learning certain details about, like, if you lead digital experience, well, learning about how to really build digital experiences, or learning about, identity landscape, or learning about, there's different types of learning, right? Even learning how to navigate corporate politics in a large matrix organization is a new learning if you were in smaller companies, right? So there's different kinds of learning that is not just useful for the job now, but hopefully very useful for your career going forward. Yeah, so learning is definitely a big one. What else?
Being in a healthy environment, right? So while learning and growth is very important, I think that's one of probably top five, right? But I think that you might love your job, you might love what you do, you might love the growth and your coworkers, but if you are under incompetent leadership, right? And mm-hmm. we've talked about incompetent leaders before, mm-hmm. And in a poisonous environment where you're mm-hmm. constantly maybe poked down to or whatever it may be, you will hate going to work every day,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
there is no happiness there. So that's, I think for me, that's one of the very important parts.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think... So it's a little of culture of the work environment, but also leadership, right? They say, like, your happiness at work is perhaps at least 50% determined by who you work for. And if they are, right? I don't know if you guys agree, but I do think that there are great leaders. They're sort of okay leaders. And then there's leaders that are just absolutely toxic. And I think depending, and unfortunately the percentages aren't like 95% great leaders and 5% either okay or toxic. It's more there's probably only 10% great leaders, and there are probably lots of just okay ones, but there's more toxic ones than we would like in companies these days. And we had a whole topic on that about incompetent leaders becoming promoted all the time that we can refer to that I posted on the blog.
Yeah, they don't have to be toxic. It's just if they are maybe skilled at their role but get promoted to management, and are not well set up for success.
Yeah, some people are really good at individual contributors. The transition to leadership is a very different mindset, as well as a different skill set. One of the interesting things, I think, in my first year of managing people, I was terrible, absolutely terrible at it, because I was so good as an individual contributor that I literally wanted everyone else to do it my way and compare their work and how they did it. Like the classic number one red fault, like, of a manager is to make other people compare yourself and how you would have done it with how they are doing it. It's the most demotivating thing, but it's good to make that mistake early and realize what happens and get over it. And some people never get over it, but I definitely had all, I made all the mistakes there, but I think, that there's definitely, lots of lessons learning when you transition from an individual contributor to a leader. What else? So we got learning, we got healthy environment. What are some criteria? There's still more.
For me, I think knowing that the work I will do will make an impact.
Yep. Yeah. If we work hard and nothing ever launches, is it frustrating or not? You're in a healthy environment, you're learning, but then it just never sees the light of day. It probably won't be as, and I think impact to me is quite important as well, because I tell people, I'm like, I want to see my work babies go out into the world and crawl and walk and run and thrive, right? I'm not a good think tank, person, just idea driven. So impact is really important.
Nothing more demotivating than to work on a project for a long time and then have it be canceled.
Yes.
Before it ever goes
yes.
out.
Yes. And of no fault of your own, many times is actually
right.
reprioritization, right? And so looking at a work and looking at whether the company really is set up to provide that impact is important. What else?
I think a related topic is feeling valued. So you want your work to you want momentum and you want your work to have impact, but you want to feel valued. I think some of that comes directly from the team and from the manager, and just being known and recognized for certain talents.
Yeah, that comes back to be like maybe part of the characteristic of a healthy environment is not only having good leadership and having support, but know that you contribute and people recognize that, right?
Absolutely.
So I think along the same lines, having a healthy relation environment is about working with coworkers you like. I mean, you don't have to like them for all things personally, but like having good coworkers that you respect who are competent, and I think is a pretty important aspect, right? Because the environment could be healthy, but if you're the smartest person there, you're probably not learning, right? Or if you don't fit and you feel like you can't bring your full self to work because of whatever diversity issues, etc., that also isn't a healthy environment. What about work-life balance? Like, we haven't mentioned that. Is that, Ala, what you're thinking in terms of healthy environment, or is that important?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't hear the first
work-life balance. Work-life balance. Is that included in being in a healthy environment, or is that a separate thing? You know, a lot of us have families with kids. Is that a separate criteria?
I think it's a separate criteria. Well, for me, at least, right? Because you set up those boundaries, individually. Some of us choose not to, right? What I meant when I said healthy environment was more the type of management and leadership that you're under. I think work-life balance is very important. But I do believe that's an individual kind of effort.
Very true. Yeah.
I'll throw another one out there is meaningful work. Like the product of your work is something that's meaningful.
Okay.
Some of more under control than others, but helping find the right opportunities that give you a lean outcome can help improve your happiness.
Is that similar to what Sunny mentioned about impact? Are you teasing out a different...
I'm teasing out something slightly different, right? I mean, you can have a big impact on your business, and you can, be a big contributor, but the work itself might not be that meaningful to others.
To your values.
Might not see all it is.
Maybe to your values. Are you saying?
Like your values, yeah.
Right, like if we build an app that really serves the people that's really struggling with managing their finances is more meaningful than, I don't know, serving the rich or something to some people. Like it's kind of like some people, I mean, there's nonprofits, you know, people work in nonprofits because it's very meaningful. And for the profit sector, there's a level of meaning that needs to be there, but it's kind of very individual. Is that what you mean, Rob?
Yeah, it's meaningful to you.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. I would add, so what about growth opportunity? I think maybe that's part of learning, right? Not having just, when you first get there, you get a lot of learning, but there's a trajectory of growth over time. And perhaps, you know, that's why when we assess the jobs, it was a heck of a lot of learning for the first a year or 2 years, but then you look at it 2 years later, which is why I recommend every 2 years reassess, like the growth is no longer there, and that actually will have an impact, because then your learning quotient goes way down compared to when you first joined. Are there any other criterias? Those are pretty...
Yeah, so the other one I would...
Yeah.
I think we can add is maybe pay scale, and I think also the benefits. That would be important for me as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, the benefits is like, overall benefits, right? Whatever the company is providing, all the perks as well.
Yeah.
So I would sort of club that into one.
So this is an interesting debate. I think Guy Kawasaki actually wrote a book called Reality Check. And in one of the chapters, he interviewed a woman that claims that if you have $50,000 in salary, and this might not apply to San Francisco, I would raise it to maybe $100,000, that for the most part, you'd be happy with life already. And it sounds like for you, though, like that's probably not true, and that's okay, right? Everybody could have different criterias, but it was just an interesting claim that I remember reading going, wow, could I be happy with a basis because I can survive, and the rest is more other things. Sorry, I think somebody was going
to
jump in.
Yeah. Rewarded for your effort.
So again, coming back to feeling valued, like your paid market price and not getting taken advantage of, perhaps.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, so I think all of these are important, but I think we also need to prioritize. One of the other questions now to look at how the current work is meeting these is I would love to hear how many criteria you got, what percentage has to be met, because at the end of the day, work is called work and not play for a reason. There's definitely work going on. You got to put a little bit of effort. It's not always all the things you want. What's your bar for happiness and satisfaction? And I think whatever your bar is set actually gives you the control over whether you feel happy or satisfied or not. And so anybody care to comment, like, is your bar, like, got a checklist of six things and I want all six? Or it's like, hey, we just talked about six things, but really I think, I don't know, if I get 3.5, I'm pretty happy. Or these are the ones I really must get, and these are the ones that are nice to have. What do you guys think about that?
I think for me, learning, environment, and growth opportunity are the top three. Like, that's a must. I mean, I won't take a job that doesn't provide this, because I mean, maybe learning, but work in a really crappy environment.
Yeah, yeah. But
even
within those criteria, learning has a scale, right? It's like, how much learning do you need to be happy? What do you guys think?
I mean, it's a combination of factors, I think.
Right.
You could sacrifice one, but if you get overcompensated on another one, you know, maybe that's not sufficient. But
yeah, yeah.
I would agree with that.
I think it's actually fairly individual, and it changes over time. Meaning that this comes back to the every 2 years evaluate, or maybe every 18 months evaluate, because what you're happy with perhaps 18 months ago, you may not be looking at it again, right? Because you've grown and you want different things, or life has changed differently, your context is different. I think the point I would make is one, know what they are. But to know whether you're, like, it's interesting whether you're setting the bar realistically or not. Because you can set the bar so high that you can guarantee to be unhappy, unsatisfied at any job. It could be. Or you can set the bar so low that you will deal with an abusive work relationship and feel, and almost, I guess, maybe talk yourself into the fact that you're happy. And I don't think I have a real great answer for how to gauge what level is right in the middle there. That's kind of the healthy level. I think the investigation or the question to ask yourself is what makes it what's best for you. Because the fact you're asking yourself these questions and kind of having a gauge and figuring it out is part of what will help you calibrate as well. Some people may say, like, the more you ask, even with life, right, the more you investigate whether you're happy or not, you're guaranteed not to be happy. Because you're so overthinking it, right? And so I think that there's a lot of gray in this. The being clear, though, because there's, after all, a little bit of, I think what someone said, it's a combination of things. So there's a gut thing. I always say there's a 51% gut thing. At the end of the day, if I want to oversimplify, and I don't even need for you and I to have the same criteria, but maybe the question is, are you 51% happy? And is there something that really just, like, is a showstopper? And if those questions are, you have no showstoppers, and you feel 51% happy, move on to, you know, something else. Meaning, like, you're happy enough at work. Focus on the learning, focus on what you're doing, focus on being with family. You don't have to keep analyzing the question. What do you think about what I just said?
I mean, I think you have to accept the fact that nothing's 100%. That's reality. And part of it is the dependent on yourself. Like, 100% of your job is not going to be learning all the time. There are times when the environment or some of the people you come to work with are not the best people. So I think setting your expectations that no, these all have to be 100% is going to be a sign of failure and dissatisfaction.
Hmm. Yep. So let's say we...
Yeah, I mean, you're investing 8+ hours a day in this role. You want to get... The return that you get is not just monetary, right? It's your social well-being, it's your mental well-being. I mean, so everybody values that differently at different points in time. So
yeah,
I would agree.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is subjective, and it is something that is probably unhealthy to do every month with your job, but healthy to do every year or two. So what do you do if you're not happy or satisfied? Is the obvious answer go get another job, or is there other options?
I mean, if you aren't happy because you outgrew your job, right?
Mm.
We all set some kind of expectation. We just talked about expectations, right? And everybody's is going to be different based on what we're trying to achieve at a given point within our career. But when you feel like you've kind of hit the plateau, mm-hmm. right? Let's just simply talk about things like growth. You realize that you haven't grown in the past, whatever that timing may be for you, 6 months or a year or two, and you're just not getting anywhere. You're not learning anything. So is it time to maybe assess the situation and see how you can move on, whether it's you apply for a higher position or you change companies altogether? So I think that could be also individual, but I think that once in a while you just got to stop and assess and figure out what it is that you aren't happy about, right? So certain things
yeah.
you can change and others that you can't.
No, very true. Some of these criteria isn't controlled by you, right? If the healthy environment became unhealthy, it's not like you all of a sudden can snap your fingers and get a better leader. However, if you're not learning, but you're in a healthy environment where your leader is open to listening to you, then perhaps what you do is actually to share that here's the other things I want to learn. I want a stretch assignment. Can I help with something else? Because you can, frankly, be able to ask for more. I always say that leadership is hard. Sometimes the leaders don't always know that you're no longer growing and learning. And it does help the leaders for you to make that ask. And sometimes that unhappy situation could turn into a happy situation in a couple weeks because you actually raised your hand and gave it a chance. Same thing with things like work-life balance. Perhaps the boundaries weren't set and it's a mutual responsibility. So I think some of the happiness at work you can control in your own jobs now if you've got some other factors already in place. And perhaps trying that is quite, is maybe the fastest way if you actually trust the fundamental fabrics of that team or that leadership. Even dollars and benefits, right? If you're not paid well enough and you feel like you have a good case for being paid more and here's all your accomplishments, if you're in a healthy environment where the managers are valuing the people and listens, that's even if you get a no, that's still something you've taken a step towards.
Yeah, I like what you've been just talking about and how you responded to that, Lay. I think the other component, obviously if someone's unhappy and there's, you know, a respect or a big issue at work, then, you know, that's a bigger problem. But without that there, is to make sure that you understand what you want. A lot of people that I've known haven't spent enough time understanding what they want and aren't as explicit as they need to be around goals.
Mm.
And then they're not working towards something. And sometimes it's, you know, so having a great relationship with a manager or a leader is good, and having a dialogue because obviously someone has advanced more in their career, they could have good advice. Reaching out about a mentor within the organization could be another way to get another sounding board, or outside of, you know, Wells or
yep.
your work environment. Being able to, you know, take a class, like you talked about design thinking, which I think is huge for product managers.
Yep.
So that's another great way. And all of those, I think, avenues, and there's, you know, endless avenues, I think, open up new doors, open up
yeah.
new thinking. Open up and help you evolve your goals. So I think recognizing that, you know, you're not alone, you have a manager and you have some other things to do that you can do to help figure out what you want to do to make you happy. You know, there are other things and out there and people to help you, but you own it. You need to take some ownership and know that it's some hard work sometimes if you're in a situation that you're not feeling happy, you're not sure why. Some self-reflection is good too.
Yeah, no, I love your comments. I think it's sometimes so key to make sure you do that first step, understand what you want, which is what we started, right? Some people will come to the manager and be like, I'm just not satisfied with work, and then almost becomes the manager's issue, and that's not going to be powerful for you, because there's so much, you can be much more empowered if you got clarity what you want. And I absolutely believe in the alchemy, right? Or the laws of the universe, that if you got really strong focus on the things you want, things will work, because your mind, the universe, everybody is kind of like, there are opportunities that will open up if you're just super clear. But when you're not super clear and you're waiting for other people to solve your issues, then it becomes less productive for both whoever's involved and you, and it actually is the cause, but maybe you're part of that cause of making yourself unhappy and not being able to get out of it. Any other comments? I think this topic, that's kind of what I wanted to address a little bit, some of the nuances of, it's not just simply like, hey, get a new job if you're not happy. And there's a bit of introspection, and with that introspection, you actually fulfill some of your learning goals as well. You get to learn a little bit more about yourself and where you're at now. And if you take some actions to empower yourself and others to help, you're probably going to move towards more of the positive quotients towards satisfaction as well.
Yeah,